The neighborhood where you grew up as a child?
Well, I'm presently living in the house that I grew up in. And the neighborhood at that time of my growing up was, we had lots of kids. We used to play in front prior to paving of the streets, of course. I grew up as a tomboy, so I used to play football with my brother and his friends up front, and they used to tackle me just like they did the boys. And I went to Peabody School, which is about 4 blocks from here. And one of the things I remember they did in school was that if you, as a way to discipline them, they used to have a panel about 1 inch thick. And if you needed discipline, they would either give you so many strokes in your hand, you had to move your hand out, or you got strokes on your buttocks. This is what the teacher did. And they told your parents.
What would your parents do then?
Got another beating when you got home, of course.
Were there other people in your neighborhood that could punish you if they found that they could punish a child, they found that he or she was misbehaving?
No, I didn't. There were some people that did that, but my greatest fear was the neighbors telling my parents.
Oh, okay.
You see, my father died when I was quite young, so this is how I came to live with my mother. Brought my brother and I here to live with my grandmother and my aunt. Mm-hmm. So there were 2 other people other than my mom that heard about anything that my brother and I did wrong. You see, so we were always getting, my parents and aunts were always getting reports of anything we did wrong.
Do you, could you talk about any special remembrances you have of your grandmother? Did she ever tell you anything about her life?
Very little, very little. I think one of the things she did was to, she came up from South Carolina.
What That's part of?
I really don't know. But my mother could answer that better than I. But I think she came up from South Carolina. And for a time, I believe they lived in Pittsburgh, and then they came back here to live. Pittsburgh, PA.
Okay.
And they came back here to live. And this is when my mother was young, and she grew up in this house, as I said before. And I also grew up in this house, which I will celebrate my 65th birthday, the 28th of this month.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, happy birthday.
Upstairs.
Okay.
Answer.
Was your neighborhood a segregated neighborhood?
Of course. They were all blacks that lived here. No other races than blacks.
There weren't any whites living in your neighborhood?
No way. Mm-hmm. The closest whites lived about 4 blocks from here.
Okay. Did they have children?
Some of them, yeah. In fact, I went to babysit when I became a teenager. Mm-hmm. I think I was in junior high when I went to babysit. About 14, I think I was. When I went to babysit this lady that had 3 girls, right? And I used to babysit for about 2 hours in the evening while she went out, and on Saturdays I babysat all day and had to clean her house on Saturday, right?
Do you ever remember playing with white children when you were a child?
No, they were like, I only played with those kids, because I was babysitting for them. Mm-hmm. But No, we never played with white kids. In fact, when we went to school, we had to cross path like this, and this was always a fight.
Oh, really? Would anybody get in trouble from those fights?
No, because they were like, they would call us niggers, coons, and different, you know, names when we crossed. Because, like, this was when I was going to junior high, and they were going to high school, which is still in existence.
When you were growing up, who were some of the people in your neighborhood that you looked up to?
Well, in the neighborhood.
Or in your community.
I would say more like it in the community. Mm-hmm. They were school teachers, of course. Mm-hmm. We're the main ones we looked up to, the minister. Well, just about it. Okay. School teachers and the minister.
Did you, what kind, you said you played football with your brothers when you were growing up? Mm-hmm. What other kind of games did you like to play?
Well, I played jumping rope and jacks. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, that's the ball and the, those. I shot marbles. Heard of that,
yeah.
Right? I shot marbles. And used to raid fruit from trees like plums and grapes and cherries. We'd always go around the neighborhood to raid the fruit trees, even though we had a peach tree in the backyard here and a mulberry tree. But the fruit trees that we didn't have, we would always raid the other people, and it was fun because the people that owned these trees would run us out, of course, you know. And most of them would have like BB guns, you know, just to scare us off, you know. It didn't last long because we'd go right back again the next day.
Okay, I mean, Dad, what were some of the occupations of the adults that lived in your neighborhood?
If they weren't school teachers, they were factory workers, farm workers, of course, housekeepers. Like my grandmother took in washing, and that was part of our chores to go pick up these clothes.
Okay.
I hated it.
I was going to ask you about chores next.
I hated that. Go pick up these white folks' clothes and bring them for my grandma to wash. And that was part of me being a girl having to hang them up and iron them. And then deliver them to the back door. These white folks hated that. Really hated that.
Did your mom or your grandmother ever teach you about when you were growing up about segregation and how to act around whites?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I left home so early. Because I was so mouthy.
Mm-hmm.
They were fearful of me getting hurt, you know, because I always spoke my mind. I didn't like segregation. And I never rode the buses because of that, because you had to, a few times I rode the buses, I went long distance. And I hated getting on the bus and walking to the back. And if you tried to sit down in the bus, driver, get to the back, nigga, oh God. So I walked most of the places I went.
Where did you think you developed that attitude that, cause a lot of people didn't have such an outspokenness? Where do you think you got your courage from?
I don't know. I just didn't like it. I knew it wasn't right. Well, because I was a human being. You know, if you stuck a pin in me, whatever, I bled just like the white man. So I just didn't like it. It just wasn't right. It just didn't seem right. Then in school, we were taught also that we were human beings, like the white person. This is, I think it came from some of the things that we were taught in school. And I got to see right and wrong, you know. We were taught in school how we were brought over here and changed and treated so badly, how we didn't know our ancestry, because of the white man not letting us be a family or know our ancestry, you know, how they kept everything from us, you know, and then what little we had in school, it didn't come from the books because the few books we had were used. We never got new books. Never got new books. We always got the old books from whites, and oftentimes they were dirty, greasy, page missing. Mm-hmm. And this is what we had to learn from. Then I knew that was wrong. That was, you know, with all this I had to go through, why not get that attitude? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be taught that attitude, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. Did you ever go downtown and shop in the stores? And how did they treat the black customer?
Well, you couldn't go to the counters to eat, and you would have to stand around until the whites were served. And then whenever they finished doing whatever they were doing, then they would come over, "Can I help you?" Oh, God. And if we went to like Woolworths to get a soda or anything, we had to wait down at the end of the counter. And lots of time, a lot of us would go in. You know how you, when teenagers get to be at a certain age, you know, you travel in packs. Mm-hmm. So we would go to Woolworths, and I hope I'm not getting in trouble for saying this.
Oh, no.
But we used to take little things from the counter, you know, so nasty, so this and so that. So we used to take little things off the counter just because they were white and
you
they were nasty.
You were getting back at them?
Yeah, that was a way of getting back at them. Yes, yes, yes.
I wanted to ask you about what were some of the values that your mother tried to instill in you growing up?
To be truthful. Not to steal, of course. To strive for the best. Try to live a God-fearing life, because we spent practically all day Sunday in church, you know, from Sunday school to church to BYPU and then evening service, which they don't have now as a rule, you know.
What is BYPU for the people?
This was the young people's group.
Okay, okay.
You know, that met about 4 or 5 on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. And
and they would like teach us the values of God and how to be God fearing, how to love your fellow man even though they were sometimes treating you wrong. I couldn't see into that, because how could you love someone that was mistreating you as a human being, you know? It's another place I got names for.
What was evening service like? Regular service, morning service?
Okay. Yeah, but not as long as the morning service. Mm-hmm. They usually started about 7 and about 8 they were over.
Did you participate in did church activities aside from Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I belonged to, let's see, I sang in the choir, the youth choir. What else was I involved in? It was such a long time ago. I remember I sang in the choir. I think they had some sort of sewing club. I think I belonged to a sewing club or something like that in church.
Did they have programs for children?
Oh, yes. The usual, you know, Christmas, Easter, Children's Day, whatever special came along.
What was Children's Day?
Children's days where the choir sang, the kids ushered, and said prayers, they ushered, and of course they took up collection. And they read scripture, and did everything except preach mm-hmm. on that Sunday. Okay. And they just honored the children of the church.
How do you think those activities and programs helped in your development?
They had it was a big thing mm-hmm. in my life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It helped me spiritually, and I'd say helped me to grow spiritually. It's about the best thing I could say. Mm-hmm. It did.
Okay. Could you talk about, you went to Peabody Elementary School?
Mm-hmm.
What was that school like?
Regular elementary school, I would say.
Was it a brick school or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still standing.
Okay.
And in fact, I'm doing volunteer work up there in Head Start.
Oh,
now.
That's nice.
Yeah. Still standing. It's a pretty good school.
Do you have any remembrances of any special teachers?
I think about one or two teachers and the principal.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teachers' name was Moore, and she was quite strict, I remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Another one was Perkins, tall, light-skinned lady. Mm-hmm. She was, used to call her the witch. God bless her soul. she was pretty strict also. She would get on your case for doing something wrong and then give you a nice big smile. And I know you're a nice, sweet young lady or a nice little boy. And you say,
yeah,
you're
a sure.
But they were shaping us for adult life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was going to ask
that. Okay. As I said before, it was in elementary school that they had this paddle
mm-hmm.
that they used to discipline us. We had to stand in the corner. We had to sit on the stool in the corner.
How did you, what merit did you get it having to do that? Kind of misbehaving?
Talking mm-hmm. while the teacher was talking, mm-hmm. chewing gum, not being on time, fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that you were disciplined for.
Aside from discipline, did the teachers do anything else for the, did do things for the students aside from just the regular teaching jobs?
Well, if you needed some sort of academic help, they would help you
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have to stay after school to part of the after school program was to say if you were needed discipline during that day, you had a behavioral problem, you had to say stay after school and write 1,000 times, I won't do this again, I won't do that again, or they would give you some extra work with math, which I always had trouble with math.
Did you ever notice that any teachers give preferential treatment or negative treatment to light-skinned children or dark-skinned children?
I can't say that I did. No, not really. Mm-hmm. We all were treated alike, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that.
Did you notice it any later in high school?
The only preference I would say they gave to any of the light-skinned children was if they, say, were outstanding,
mm-hmm.
you know, like singers
mm-hmm.
or extra smart
mm-hmm.
kids, and that would happen were you light or dark.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I went through that. I can't really say. I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was your, did Peabody go to
sixth grade
mm-hmm. and you went to junior high school?
Yes.
What junior high school did you
Williston.
Go? Okay, and what was Williston like?
Well, it was a broader
mm-hmm.
academic field in that I met a lot more people, became friends with a lot of people. And then there were fights too.
Why were there fights?
Because one of the reasons we used to fight my brother and I being the oldest, mm-hmm. and my brother the youngest, I had knock knees and he was bow-legged. One of the things that would start a fight with us was the kids would say, "Here comes O-X, here comes O-X," and that was a fight. Happened like that. Since my brother was younger, then I used to fight his battles.
Oh.
And when I got home, I used to get a beating for fighting.
How many years younger than you? Is it 2? Oh, that's so, okay. Did he ever come to your aid?
Yeah, after we got older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did, after we got older, because he was much smarter than I. See, he's one of those persons that look at something and you got it. But with me, I had to get down and study hard.
Do you have any remembrances of any teachers in junior high school?
In junior high school, it like the same teachers, if I remember correctly, the same teachers would teach junior high and then high school. Mm-hmm. It may be wrong because it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But
okay. Then you went to Williston High School?
Yeah, it was all, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And could you describe Williston, what Williston was like?
Yeah, by the time I got into, this was like early 40s.
Okay.
And by that time the war had started, mm-hmm. and things had gotten better for us financially.
Okay.
With the Second World War.
Okay.
And my mom had gotten a better job, mm-hmm. and my aunt. At that time we got electricity in the house. Mm-hmm. We had an indoor bathroom, mm-hmm. and we ate better.
Why do you think your family did better because of the war?
Because of the jobs.
Mm-hmm. There were more jobs created?
Yes, mm-hmm. because in Wilmington here, we had a shipyard, an army base, naval, and the only one that's still running now, the Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. It's the only one. So the town was filled with a lot of new people. Because there were such great job opportunities going on here. One of the other things that stands out in my mind during that time was during the Second World War, across the street from the school, they brought German soldiers.
Really?
And I thought that was the worst thing they could have done. And they put them right across the street. The school was here and the camp was here. And they kept the prisoners. They had an electrified fence like here and a regular fence there. And the principal told us never to cross the street. Never, ever, ever cross that street. However, our activities in school didn't bring us to the front of the school until, say, possibly maybe recess,
okay.
or when we came to school.
Is this high school or junior high?
Yeah.
High school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And these prisoners would come to the fence and they would call us all kinds of names. They couldn't speak English. They nigger, nigger, nigger.
They knew that word?
Oh, did they ever. And then some of us, as the principal used to tell us, and our teachers used to tell us, don't speak to them, mm-hmm. you know, which we didn't. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to, because as soon as we were going into school to start the day, they would rush to the fence and start with the name calling. Mm-hmm. Whenever school was over, they would rush to the fence mm-hmm. and start the name calling, and that was so degrading.
Did anybody ever say anything back to them?
Yeah, we would say, you know, Swatzers, or, you know, they would call us Swatzers, or we would call them names, but it didn't bother them, you know. But they seemed to get joy out of calling us names.
Mm-hmm. Were they there during the whole war, or?
They were there, let's see, I graduated in 46, May of 46. I think it was that year prior to graduation they moved them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were there for like at least a year or more.
Did your parents protest them being there?
Or? How good would he do?
Do you think they put them there because it was a black neighborhood?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? It was space down the white school. They didn't put them there. Mm-hmm. They put them right across the street there from us. Right across the street.
In your high school, aside from academics, did you participate in any other activities?
Yeah. I was a cheerleader.
Oh, okay.
I had gotten on the, in my senior year, I had gotten on the college-bound team. I was in the sewing club, craft club. Well, I guess you would call cooking craft club too then, I guess.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about being a cheerleader. Why did you want to be a cheerleader and how were they, how, what
oh,
was
the
process?
On the dance.
Okay.
On the dance.
Okay.
I did a lot of dancing in school.
Oh,
okay. In fact, I still do like dancing.
Okay.
Being on the cheerleading squad, I think I was chosen to be on that because I was so mouthy, as my teacher said. And then I enjoyed being on that because I got to get into the football games free. And I got to travel with the football team to and the basketball team to different places to play the games. So I enjoyed that. I really did. I really enjoyed that.
Were there, on with your fellow cheerleaders, were there camaraderie or were there conflicts and things like that?
No. We didn't have that. No. One of the nice things about that is the Williston football team and the basketball team had very good coaches, and very rarely we lost a game.
Oh, okay.
So when that happened, when we, on Friday nights, we would have a dance in the gym afterwards, and we would do lots of swing dances,
what
everyone is trying to learn to do now, which I'm an expert at.
Oh, okay.
I still am, to tell you the truth. Those were good, those get-together.
Mm-hmm. Were you? Did you ever want to be a professional dancer?
I did. In fact, when I graduated from high school, I asked my mom to, I only wanted two things, one-way ticket to New York to live with my aunt and luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she gave me. That's what I did.
I wanted to ask some questions about more about the social life here in Wilmington. What did young people do for fun then when you were in high school?
Well, most of it centered around school. Because as I said, we had the, with my being a cheerleader, then we had the basketball games, and then we had the meets, and then we had the different dances like the sock hop. Then the different clubs that met after school. And then we would go to the beaches.
Okay, what were the beaches? Were they black, any black beaches and things like that?
Only.
Only?
Mm-hmm. Black beaches.
What
that
beach?
Seabreeze.
Seabreeze, okay.
That's the main, that was the only black beach we could go to here.
Mm-hmm.
Over at Greenfield Park, sure, you've seen that since you've been here. We weren't allowed too much to go into that park. However, a lot of the teenagers would go over to that park, and we used to swim in that lake. But when we couldn't go to Sea Breeze, because Sea Breeze is like 10 miles from here, so we would run over there, and one of the fellas would, had put a rope up in one of the trees and we would swing out into the water, you know, and drop down. Well, we were taking a big chance doing that because there were moccasins in the water, and somebody said, here comes a moccasin, and boy, we would cut out.
Yes. Did Sea Breeze have restaurants there and things like that?
Oh yeah, there were what they call restaurants and dance hall. There was a pier that ran out into the water. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a beach, it was like a lake, like, you know, so the water wasn't, by today's standard, the water wasn't that clean, to tell you the truth. But we all went in the water. In fact, Sunday school would have picnics down there. We would go down there because we had to go through the white area to get there. And lots of times, a lot of kids not having any transportation, we would all get into a truck. And there were times the police would stop us. And your boys and girls going, now where you niggas going down here? We'd say we're going to Sea Breeze. In fact, prom night, we jumped into one of my classmates' truck and rode down to Sea Breeze because it had, like, you know, little dance halls, you know, with the one light in the ceiling.
Oh.
Sold us on the floor. And we had a good time down there. We really would do a little drinking, but we couldn't do otherwise.
Okay. What was dating life like then?
Well, dating was going to maybe Sea Breeze, or going to little juke joints, they called, that were in the outlying areas. Mosquitoes eating you up out there. Going to the movies, wherein, of course, we had to go to the colored section. And we had to walk up about 4,000 stairs to get to, because it had its way up in the balcony there. And if we made too much noise there, the ushers would come and throw us out, tell us to be quiet and throw us out. And
if I wanted to ask, with that, if the it was a popular movie and the theater was really crowded, would White sit up in the balcony?
With never.
You? Never?
Ever, ever, ever. And if we got crowded, we had to wait outside until seats were available. Never, ever, ever were we mixed. No way. Sometimes if we got a little noisy, you know, like sometimes blacks will do, even today, if something is funny, they will talk to the movie, you know, or not funny, they would still talk to the movie, and somebody would yell up from the white section, shut up that noise back there, niggers, shut up that noise. You know, we were never addressed as a human being, it was always niggers or you coon, shut up that noise. But they had the orchestra and the mezzanine, and we only had the balcony. Only the balcony. On Saturdays, we used to sneak into the bijou, through the side door, because one of our friends worked in maintenance there, and he would leave the door unlocked quite frequently. We'd sneak into the side door and sit up in the colored section, as they called it.
And the bijou, was that a movie theater too?
Those were the only two until later another one opened up on Third and Market. Those two movies was down on Front Street, and the other movie was on Market Street.
They have a black movie theater?
Yeah, the Ritz. In fact, if you get a chance, it's now Studio 4 here now. one of the fellows grew up here, went to New York and made money. In fact, it's been open about 2 months. Mm-hmm. That was another movie we went to. That's over on 4th Street there, 4th and Bladen.
Ask you, what would happen to a girl in your high school if she became pregnant? Something like that.
Well, the families would send her away, mm-hmm. keep her home. Mm-hmm. When she disappeared for a while, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. come back. She never went to school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a sin. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, they just took her out of school.
What happened to the boy that got the girl pregnant?
Same thing as today, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. That poor girl was shamed, you know.
But he wasn't. He.
Are you kidding? Nothing. What happens today?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
All right.
I wanted to ask, change gears a little bit, and ask, where did people in your community go to? Did they go to Did they have black doctors to go to when they got sick?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do most people go to doctors, or did they try to?
No.
Get better. What
they
kind
do
of
do it themselves? Herbs.
Really?
We didn't go that often ourselves. Mm-hmm. My mom gave us different herbs to take. Mm-hmm. You know, spring was the herb time. Winter was herb time. Summer was herb time. You know, you took tonics.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what does that mean?
Season.
Oh, okay.
You know,
what
to ward off any problems.
What were in those tonics?
Those. The only thing I remember is like, it was a sassafras tea. Mm-hmm. And there was, my mom could answer that better. We had a cold, we had to wear an acetophenity bag around the bed. Mm-hmm. We smelled to high heavens.
What was aspirin?
Acetophenity, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what you gotta ask my mom mm-hmm. about that. You go explain it, bring it around here. It stunk.
Did all those children have to wear that?
A lot of them did. Mm-hmm. A lot of them did. Even though I had it on, I would take it off.
What was it supposed to do for you?
Ward off colds, whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of course, we took castor oil and 3/6.
What's three?
3/6.
3/6.
Yes, it was 666. That's why they call it 3/6. That was for colds.
Okay. Oh,
bitter. Mm-hmm. It was, and of course, castor oil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were given a spoon or two of that, and half an orange was shoved in your face. And you better not bring it up and even home.
Do you think they work?
Well, I'm here today. My brother would probably be here too if he hadn't gone to Korea mm-hmm. and died with a piece of shrapnel in his head.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about World War II. Did you know anyone that had to go fight in World War II?
I knew of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they were, a lot of kids joined just to get away from here, you know. But the army was still segregated, but at least they got away. They had a chance to get away from here to go to non-segregated town. Mm-hmm. That was most of their reasons for joining, really, just to get away from segregation.
Do you, let's see, do you have anything else you want to say about your high school years and things before we move on that I forgot to ask you? Oh, did you have any part-time jobs after school?
Yeah, the babysitting.
The babysitting?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did.
And how did they treat you?
I didn't have any problems mm-hmm. with them. They were pretty decent. Mm-hmm. They really were, but they had to adhere to segregation. Mm-hmm. I had to go in the back door and come out the back door. Mm-hmm. But, I didn't have any problems with that. Mm-hmm. We got along pretty good. I got along with the kids. Mm-hmm. No problem.
And you said you were in the dance club. Did they have dance performances?
Oh, yes.
And things like that? And what mm-hmm. kind of dances would they do at those performances?
I know we did the Carmen Miranda type dances mm-hmm. for South America. I don't know if you heard of the death dance, mm-hmm. where we all went black mm-hmm. and, you know, did slow movements of the death dance. We did the jazz, interpretive dancing, and we performed in school.
Mm-hmm. Did you take lessons, dance lessons, anything like that before you were in high school?
Yeah.
No?
No, it was all in school.
Mm-hmm. Did they have dance class for you? Or
yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I joined the dance group in school.
Mm-hmm.
And for the 4 years that I was in high school, I was in the dance group.
Did you have to audition to get into that
yes.
class?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was that really hard to audition or?
No, the teacher just said to play music and she said, well, get out there and do whatever you feel like.
Really? Oh, okay.
And that's what I did. If you did something that you like, if you were creative, then
mm-hmm.
you were chosen to be in the troupe. And my mom made a lot of the outfits, and I made some too,
mm-hmm.
because I was in sewing class.
Mm-hmm. Were you, being a cheerleader and a dancer, were you pretty popular?
Yeah,
cool?
I was.
Mm-hmm. Did they have social clubs? I remember I was talking to someone, and they were a member of the Aristocrats Club or something like that. So did they have those clubs then when you were there?
We had clubs. We had clubs for different parts of the town, this part of the town ran from, in fact it still does, the north side, they say runs from Market to the railroad tracks,
mm-hmm.
and that was, the other side of the railroad track was called Brooklyn.
Okay.
So the people in this part of town,
okay.
we all belong to the club here,
oh.
we call it. I don't remember the name,
mm-hmm.
I really don't, but we all belong to the club. We went different places together.
Okay.
We meet on the corner, there was a store over there on the corner that mm-hmm. woman allowed us to, a candy store.
Mm-hmm.
She allowed us to sit around there and meet, mm-hmm. and we got too noisy, she'd throw us out and we'd be on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we used to have little fights with people that come from Brooklyn or the people came from the south side of town would come over. And the fellas didn't want them dating the girls on this side of town. There would be little fights.
Mm-hmm.
Or not serious fights, you know. They would try a thing like, they would approach, say, a fella, and they'd say, I bet you don't believe that Judy can hold all these fellas and you get on top. And they would have, Judy was the big fella.
Okay.
The biggest fella.
Judy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we were famous for different names, nicknames. Anyway, he would lay on the bottom and then one of the other fellas, and they would, like that, and the one that didn't believe it could hold him would be on top.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there would be the others standing around, and the one that got on top that didn't believe, they would beat him on his butt when he got on top because he didn't believe that. that was funny.
Okay.
It was.
Okay, and you said for high school graduation, you got a one-way ticket to New York City.
Yeah.
And why did you decide on New York? Because your aunt lived there?
Mm-hmm, my mother's sister. Mm-hmm. I had to go somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. where I knew someone, because my mother wasn't the one that we just go. Mm-hmm.
And your mother thought you were getting a little outspoken and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, she was a little fearful.
Did you, what led her to believe that? Did you have any confrontations with white people or anything like that?
Not that much. It was just that it's the way my attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's with them, right? Like, why are you talking to me like this? No, I'm a person like you. You know, I would reject that type of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a bit fearful. That.
So did you take the train or the bus or the plane?
No planes at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I think I took the train.
Mm-hmm.
Train to come here.
What was that experience like?
Well, it wasn't anything new because the same aunt used to send for my brother and I in the summer.
Oh, okay.
And we spent our summers in New York.
Oh, okay.
And then we would come back here to go to school.
Do you think spending the summers in New York helped influence your attitude
yes.
about segregation?
Yes, mm-hmm. it did. My brother and I thought it did.
In what ways?
Well, we knew there was a better life, that we have to take the garbage that the white man was giving out here, mm-hmm. because New York was a free state. Mm-hmm. And that helped influence us a lot. In fact, I worked, and one of the face plants making the ponchos for soldiers, mm-hmm. yeah, that's the most money I ever made. Because I think it was 14, 15, summer, I do something different. One summer I worked in the defense plant.
Oh, okay. This is why you were in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I went to New York for the summer. Another summer I worked in a flower plant, tore my fingers. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to hold them here and make them mm-hmm. here. Another summer I was a ripper. What was I ripped the threads
okay.
from garments. And this was in factories. All of this was in factories.
How did you go about getting those jobs? How did they get selected? Well,
mm-hmm. help me to find them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
because like this was during the war years mm-hmm. too, and there were a lot of jobs, and she knew where they were kind of close to home, or she would write out the direction. So I would take the subway to mm-hmm. the jobs.
So I was going to ask, how did you adjust to living in New York? But you were pretty used to it already.
Yeah, we'd stay for school let out here in May. Mm-hmm. So when we got to New York, school was still going on mm-hmm. in June. So June, July, and August, we'd come home the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Did you make friends in New York? Like
some.
Did they tease you because you were from the South at all?
Just the way we talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they tease us about.
So after you moved after graduating?